Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, beautiful listeners. I am love. I am loving. I am lovable. And so are you. This is Jude Albright, your host, and I welcome you to Love Your Addiction. Yes, I did say love your addiction. And most people certainly don't love their addictions. Rather, they fight them. They feel powerless over them. They become sad at their effects, and they struggle to release them. Loving your addictions is being grateful for how they have shown you who you are not, so you can now remember who you really are, pure magnificence. And that is what today's show is about. Your remembrance. So, what if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be, who you are denying yourself and the world? I'm here today to offer you other possibilities. What if you could see addictions through different eyes? Your own loving eyes. Many of us have forgotten that we are love, that we were created by a loving creator. I'm going to call that Father, Mother, Creator, God, but there are many names for it, like Source, All That Is, Supreme Being, Universe, Higher Power. Many have also forgotten that we are the creators. We are creators also. Why have we created addictions? Well, we're going to understand that a little bit more in today's program. And they are a magnificent learning tool. Here in this third dimensional world, we have chosen to learn to experience our lives through polarities like hot and cold, night and day, male and female. And I believe we're all looking for love, mainly because of our loss of our connection to our source, our God. Often, we look for this love from our families, and we don't get it. Because they can't give us what they don't have. And this leaves a mark on us as children. And we start thinking that there's something wrong with us. However, I know there is no thing wrong with any of us. We're not here to tackle our feelings of inadequacy alone, by ourselves. In fact, we're all sons and daughters of a benevolent creator, and we need each other for support. My intention is that you open your hearts wide open and accept that you are good enough, important enough, smart enough, and beautiful enough to live the life of your dreams. And I highly doubt whether anyone listening has ever dreamed of becoming the best addict. Loving your addictions is being grateful for how they have shown you who you are not, so you can now remember who you really are, pure and absolute magnificence. Today, we are going to be looking at how do addictions dull the feelings of unworthiness? Well, they do. They become the perfect way for us to look at ourselves, at our beliefs. And what if they show us very, very, very clearly who we are not, so we can explore and embrace the truth of who we really are? And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to explore those reasons. We would enjoy your participation. And if you have specific questions or comments, please call in at 516-453-9181 and we'll address them and talk about them. Or you can sign in using chat. We are all in this together. And I am sure that each of you desires peace, joy, love, and abundance in your life. So let's get each other there by changing our thoughts and beliefs and getting rid of those feelings of not good enough. I believe that everyone needs nurturing. And if we don't get that nurturing from our parents, we miss it and we crave it and we try to get it in other ways. Perhaps our parents didn't have it in them to give us the nurturing because one can't give what one doesn't have. Maybe they were never nurtured. I know as a child I did not feel nurtured. I knew that both of my parents loved me, but never felt really cared for or nurtured, because it was quite obvious to me that my brothers were the important ones, and my mother and I, being female, really didn't count. That was the belief system in my family. Now, did that lead to feelings of shame and feeling of less than and not important? Certainly it did. So we're going to discuss many, many ways that lead to shame and feelings of being not important that are usually learned when we are children. The first one might be, let's say you were the youngest child and you were neglected as the youngest child because both of your parents worked outside the home and you were unmercifully teased by your older siblings. Now, were they out to really hurt you? No. They were kids just doing things kids do. But if you really felt neglected, you started to feel that there was something wrong with you. Perfect setup for addiction, because you certainly don't like feeling that way. Nobody likes feeling that way. Here's another example. Let's say that you were sexually abused by a parent or a relative or a sibling, or maybe just a neighbor. And I don't mean to minimize it when I say just a neighbor. Now, when you are very small, you tend to look up to adults and even older children, like teenagers, for example, as knowing what they're doing and someone that you should emulate. Well, when you're sexually abused, you really feel like you're powerless. So that is a perfect, perfect setup for addiction. Okay, let's look at another example. maybe you were told when you were younger, you were mocked, that you were the ugly one, or you were too stupid or too fat, and you were told you'd never amount to anything. Well, that's a pretty rough one to take, because when we believe that and we're told that enough times as a child, we start believing that. So how do addictions dull the feelings of unworthiness? They do. Addictions sedate our true feelings. And if you were mocked, you will have accepted a feeling that there is something wrong with you. There isn't, but you would accept that belief maybe. Okay, here's another one, number four. Let's say that you were physically abused, constantly hit by one of your parents or by a caretaker or by your siblings. Maybe you were even tortured. What a definition of who you are. There definitely must be something wrong with you if somebody is constantly abusing you. Okay. Number five. And this is one that a lot of people are not going to believe, but there are many statistics that prove this. Let's say both of your parents were alcoholics, or they had other addictions, or they were drug addicts. If they both were, neither one was able to put you first or give you the nurturing that you needed, because their main love interest was whatever their addiction was, and you came second or third or fourth. So that is definitely an example of how addictions can dull the feelings of unworthiness. Another one, number six. Let's say you grew up in a very, very filthy house and you were always embarrassed to bring any other children into the house, or you were embarrassed with your family and the way they lived. Now, you might have thought there's something wrong with you that you're living in a family like that, especially if you had been to other kids' homes that were neat and kept nice. So there again, if you felt embarrassed and shameful, addictions are a perfect way of dulling those feelings of unworthiness. Here's another one that I hope has not happened to many people. And let's say that you were disfigured, maybe in a fire, maybe you were bit in the face by a dog. Now that certainly would bring up feelings of not being good enough and something is wrong with me in a child, because the understanding of why that happened and how it happened is very difficult for a young child to understand. Okay, here's another one. Let's say that you were the fat one, and I'm going to use the word fat rather than heavy, because that's how kids tease each other. And all of your siblings were thin and gorgeous. Well, there's a perfect example of feeling, what's wrong with me? Something is wrong with me. I am not worthy. That I can't be thin and gorgeous. Okay. Here's another one that would seem very simple and not as severe as the other situations that I mentioned. But let's say when you were young, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7, your parents got divorced. And as a child, we tend to take on thinking that we are responsible. And maybe you believed as a child that you were responsible for your parents' divorce. Today, as an adult, you know better. But as that child, you may have unconsciously believed that, and as a result, believed that there was something wrong with you and that you were unworthy. So, therefore, we have another reason for feelings of unworthiness and leaning toward addictions. And here's another one that can be very sad for people, especially a child. Let's say your brother died when he was 7 years old. Maybe he was drowned. Maybe he was hit by a car. There could be many, many reasons. And because he died and you no longer had a brother, there was something wrong. And you took that on as a child to mean there is something wrong with you. And finally, I'm going to end with, even though there could be many, many more reasons, I'm going to end with another reason, and that is that you grew up in homeless shelters. And when you went to school, kids made fun of you. You felt unworthy simply because you were living in a homeless shelter. Well, all of those reasons definitely bring about feelings of unworthiness. And how do addictions dull those feelings? That's what addictions do. They sedate what we are feeling. And that is the main reason why people head into addictions. Yes, maybe you grew up in a family where addiction was part of the family system, but remember, before you came here, you chose the type of family that you wanted to be born into. Think about that. Now, I talked about most of the 11 or 12 examples that I gave you. Most of them dealt with shame, guilt, maybe grief. And I have used David Hawkins' Power versus Force, his map of consciousness in his book Power versus Force. I have used that very often as an example of our energy vibration. So when you are vibrating in shame and guilt and grief and apathy, you are vibrating anywhere from 20 to 75, which is at the low, 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 low end of the scale. Because the high end of the scale is 700 to 1,000. And that's enlightenment. And when we vibrate in peace, which we certainly don't when we're involved in an addiction, we vibrate between 540 and 60. So it's all about our vibrations. It's all about nurturing. Were we nurtured or not? And what did we think about ourselves when we were growing up? Nurturing is a willingness to receive yourself and share your caring with others. It's putting your needs first so that you can give of yourself and still be filled up. It's an intuitive behavior and can be remembered if forgotten. And that's why we're doing this show. It is a remembrance. And let's say that you were not nurtured and that you decided to release and give up your addiction, but you want to be a nurturer. Well, here are some nurturing qualities. The nurturer takes care of himself or herself, puts himself or herself first, knows what's best for himself and herself, and I doubt whether anybody who's involved in an addiction knows what's best for him or her. The nurturer is proud of himself or herself and his or her accomplishments. The nurturer enjoys being helpful, not controlling, but helpful, and has the ability to say yes or no. The nurturer possesses integrity with himself or with others, with him or herself and with others. And the nurturer focuses on his or her own needs and is willing to share himself or herself with others in need. So, now you've learned how one nurtures. So, I'm going to ask you, everything that you have done to make yourself wrong, will you now destroy and uncreate it? You're the only one that can do that. Nobody can do that for you. Treatment facilities can't do that for you. A personal therapist can't do that for you. A support group can't do that for you. You create your feelings. Nobody creates them for you. So when is it time for you to choose something different? I ask you, when is it time? What if being addicted is not about what you do, but rather about who you are refusing to be? And you can find out more answers about the things that we've talked about. And you can reach me at www.beingrecovered.net. BEINGRECOVERED.net. What is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us, and the taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. The feeling of truth warmly embraces us. And I have Bob in the chat room who says, I am the only one that can ever know what my needs are. How can it be otherwise? Very wise statement. How can it be otherwise? Nobody thinks your thoughts for you. You are the thinker. You are the creator. So, please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth, your love, and your worthiness. Remembering the true, beautiful, magnificent, powerful you. And here are some questions for you. What if you now stopped validating other people's realities? What if you lost your capacity to judge and to blame? And what if today you became more grateful for new opportunities? Do you think your life might be more joyful? Well, I'm going to ask you again. Everything that you have done to make you wrong, will you now, once and for all, destroy and uncreate those beliefs. Please step into the love that you truly are. And I, Jude Albright, am sending you love and a day full of non-judging yourself and others. And goodbye for now.